Dear beloved of God, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Well, our character for this Sunday morning, Thomas, has two earlier appearances in John's Gospel. The first time he shows up is when the disciples are collectively worried about heading back to the region of Judea, where they are supposed to visit their now dead friend Lazarus, because the religious leaders have just tried to kill Jesus. And so Thomas calls all of the disciples together and with equal parts bravado and resignation says, "If Jesus is going back, let's also go with him so that we may die with him." Then Thomas takes the stage during the Last Supper, when the disciples are gathered with Jesus in the upper room and Jesus has just washed their feet and Judas has left to betray Jesus. Jesus starts a long discourse where he is trying to get his disciples ready for his departure, for his death. And Jesus says to his friends, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places, and if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus said, "And you know the place to where I am going." And Thomas looks at him and says, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How? How can we know the way?" And then there's this moment that Pastor Freeman just read from John's Gospel in chapter 20. And I just have to say, isn't Thomas great? He's like in my top five of biblical characters. I just love that he says out loud all of the things. He gives voice to what everybody else in the room is thinking, but is too afraid to say. Thomas is bold, maybe even a little impetuous. A few years ago, I came across a poem by an artist named Malcolm Geitie, and the poem is called St. Thomas the Apostle. And it starts like this. "We do not know. How can we know the way? Courageous master of the awkward question, you spoke the words that others dared not say. You cut through their evasion and abstraction. O doubting Thomas, father of my faith, you put your finger on the nub of things." That's such a great line. You put your finger on the nub of things. That's what Thomas does. He sees the most central, most basic, most essential part of the issue at hand, and then he names it. If we head back to the place the people were just trying to kill us, it's pretty likely that we might die. "Jesus, you're speaking about things that we do not understand. How can we follow you when we don't know where you're going? Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." Thomas can't unsee what he's already seen. Think about that for a second. Thomas has seen Jesus' execution. Thomas has seen Jesus dead on the cross. That image will forever be seared into Thomas' consciousness. He's watched his teacher and his friend die publicly. Thomas stood by as Jesus breathed his last breath. He saw the nails. He saw the soldiers pierce Jesus' side. He saw the blood and the water come pouring out. Thomas can't unsee that. There are these moments in our human existence that leave indelible marks upon us. Moments that just get burned into our brains. There are things that we see that we will never forget. Events that become part of us and part of how we see the world. Maybe when we watch a loved one breathe their last breath after a difficult battle with cancer. Or maybe when we watch a child come into the world. When we're confronted for the first time with the extremes of poverty in this world. Or maybe that first time that we glimpse one of the wonders of the natural world and behold the beauty of this creation. These moments change us, and we can't unsee them. They are forever a part of who we are. And that's what I love about Thomas. Thomas tells the disciples, "Unless I see the mark of the nails and put my finger there and my hand in his side, I will not believe." I think Thomas is demanding something else that he can't unsee. Thomas is demanding a new story, a new narrative, a new visual to hold alongside the picture of pain and suffering and death that he knows. For Thomas to believe that something more is possible, Thomas needs to see that something more exists. See, Thomas isn't asking for the signs of crucifixion to be erased. He wants to see that the horror of what he has witnessed can stand alongside a new thing, a better thing, a living thing. Thomas wants to see that death and new life exist in the world. Thomas asks to see both. And Jesus delivers. The rest of the poem goes something like this. O doubting Thomas, father of my faith, you put your finger on the nub of things. We cannot love some disembodied wraith, but flesh and blood must be our King of Kings. Your teaching is to touch, embrace, anoint, feel after him, and find him in the flesh. Because he loved your awkward counterpoint. The word has heard and granted you your wish. Oh, place my hands with yours. Help me divine the wounded God whose wounds are healing mine. It is that wounded God who still bears on his body the marks of torture and abuse and death that is also the risen Jesus. It is the God who died who is now also living. The promise of resurrection doesn't paper over the pain of this life. It doesn't erase from our collective consciousness all that we have seen and done and experienced. But instead, the resurrected Jesus promises us more. More life, more joy, more hope. And like Thomas, Jesus invites us to see, to hear, and to touch. Jesus' gift to Thomas also includes a blessing for us. We're not going to have the bodily presence of the crucified and resurrected Jesus bursting into this room this morning. We won't be able to draw near to the wounds of Jesus. But dear ones, together we are the body of Christ. Together we have seen so much. The wounds of this world are real, but so is the hope and life of God that moves through and among us. And this is God's blessing for us, even if we can't yet see it. Thanks be to God. Amen.